Good evening, everybody. Good evening from Nigeria, and thank you for being here again tonight. This is Navigate with FFA, and what an honor to serve you. I'm so grateful to all of you for staying with me over these months, and I thank you for all the encouragements. It's a global family. I'm grateful to God. Please, right away, I want to just share the link. Invite someone. I see you, Belgium, London, Japan. Oh, thank you. Thank you for being a part of this. Share the link. Share the link. Share the link. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate all of you. It's going to be great tonight. Togo, I see you. Thank you, my global family. America, thank you. Thank you so very much. The Lord bless all of you. Zambia, I'm reading your comments, and I'm so grateful. It's a privilege tonight. Thank you. Tonight, we'll be discussing stress management. Stress management. New Zealand, Nigeria, I see you. My opening remark, Namibia, I see you. I'm coming. Thank you. Thank you. Like, share, follow, and subscribe. My opening remark tonight is this. You are too old to pursue your dream. You heard me. You are not too old to pursue your dream. I see all of you. I see you. I appreciate the comments. You are not too old to pursue your dream. That may be for somebody tonight. You're thinking, oh, I wanted to go back to school. I don't think I can. Really? How old are you? I thought I'll be married, but the way I'm feeling, really? I thought I was going to have a baby, but really? You can do it. If it's a dream that you are passionate about, please go ahead and pursue the dream. Thank you, all of you from African nations, from around the world. I appreciate you. Switzerland, I see you. Uganda. Global family, Australia, appreciate you. You are not too old. You are not too old. You are not too old to pursue your dream. Thank you for being a part of this tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Tonight I have in this studio my very, very, very dear sister, a beautiful lady. She's an expert when it comes to this topic. And it's such an honor to have Jola Grace Emmanuel with me tonight discussing this topic. Sierra Leone, I'm coming in November. I see you. Hello, Jola. Coach Jola.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening, Mama. Good evening. Good evening.
You're so beautiful. I love your spec.
Thank you, Ma.
You're so beautiful. One of these days, maybe you come and teach us how to be beautiful.
Thank you, Ma. Thank you so much
for coming tonight. Thank you for being a part of this. I truly appreciate you. So my guest is here, and you see how beautiful she is. So please continue to invite. Send the link. Send it to your global friend. Thank you so very much, everyone. Welcome again, Jola Grace Emmanuel.
Thank you, Ma.
Can we meet you? Who is Jola Grace Emmanuel?
Wow. First of all, I just want to say a very, very big thank you to you, Mommy, for this opportunity to share this platform with you. I don't take it for granted. It's a great honor, and I truly, truly, truly appreciate you. Thank you so much, Ma. I love you so much. Well, Jola Grace Emmanuel is a coach. I'm a coach. I'm a life and trauma recovery coach. I help people who have been through trauma, any kind of trauma, domestic abuse, childhood abuse, you know, sexual abuse. I just help them to heal and reinvent themselves for an excellent life. And I do this through one-on-one coaching sessions, one-on-one coaching and therapy sessions. Also, I do master classes. I do seminars, public speaking, and, you know, just helping people from time to time, putting different products out there as well. I have a workbook that I've written, how people can help boost their self-esteem, and also audio affirmation. I think also for me, I'm passionate about the health and the healing of the soul. So I'm popularly referred to as a soul doctor. And I believe that the prosperity of the soul is the foundation for the prosperity of every other area of our lives. And, you know, I began to study psychology, having been through some traumatic experience myself. I decided to find out how human beings behave, what goes on in our mind, and, you know, why we do the things that we do. You know, and that has made me realize that a lot of people are going through life not knowing who they are. They are going through life reacting based on their environment and their experiences and not even knowing who they are or living their best lives. So I'm committed. I have a mandate to help people heal from their trauma, to help them discover themselves, to help them love themselves, to help them accept themselves, and to help them find happiness on their own, boost their self-esteem, boost their self-confidence, and live their best life. Because a lot of people are just going through life. Yes, life happens. Things happen to us. But I say to people that what happened to you might have not been your fault, but it is your responsibility to rise, to heal, and to go and fulfill your purpose. So I think that is me in a nutshell.
Can I just interrupt you a little?
Okay.
That is the present Jola. Okay. Can you just flip it and pull back the curtain? Mm. Who is Jola Grace from the past? How you were born, okay. Where you were born, the schools you went to, you know,
Wow. Okay.
Sort of things.
Okay.
We want to know Jola in the past.
In the past, okay.
The things you just shared with me, mind-blowing. Just shared with us now.
Awesome. Thank you. So
that we can know that you didn't just drop from heaven. That you're not
I'm so grateful for my parents. I was born in November. Well, I don't know. I'm not supposed to say my age, so I won't say my age. In fact, I don't need to say my age. I'm
25. Woo! You're 25?
Yes, ma'am, but then I have some years of experience.
Okay.
So my parents, I was born actually in the city of Ibadan, Nigeria. I currently live in the UK. I was born in the city of Ibadan, Nigeria. My father is an educationist and my mother retired as the matron at University College Hospital. I'm the first daughter, but the second child of four. And they brought us up in a very, very strong Christian foundation. I don't know if anybody remembers the Scripture Union. Way back then, my dad was one of the executives of the Scripture Union. So we were quite active. When we were young, we used to go to camps. I remember those SU camps back then. We kind of rebelled because there was a lot of discipline and everything, but the fact is, today I am so grateful to God for that foundation, that Christian foundation that we had. My dad currently is a venerable in the Anglican Communion. And I remember that every single day when we were growing up, my dad will ring the bell latest by 5:30, 6 o'clock. Everybody must come out of their room for family altar. It's up till now. My dad is going to be 80 in a few weeks. But up till now, he still does it. And that was one of the things that helped me to know God, gave me that foundation, that Christian foundation. In fact, I remember that when my grandmother was alive, she would ring the bell in the evening. And because she's, you know, she speaks Yoruba a lot, because if not for her, I would know nothing about Yoruba. So she made us pray Yoruba. She made us, Yoruba is my local dialect. She made us read the Yoruba Bible. She made us sing in the Yoruba hymn books. So that also sort of gave me some love for the tradition, for the language, and for the interest in the language. So I, when I headed my primary school, Sacred Hearts in Ibadan, I schooled, all my schooling was done in Ibadan. I was the only one in my family that went to school in Ibadan. All my schools were in Ibadan. My primary, my secondary, I went to St. Louis, and then I went to the Polytechnic Ibadan. And then after that, I got married and I relocated to the UK, and I did my master's in financial decision analysis in the UK. And so I've been in the UK for a very, very long time. I have three beautiful children also in the UK. And even though I studied accounting and, you know, in the Polytechnic and also financial decision analysis, I really didn't have the opportunity to practice or to do anything along the area of that career, basically because of a mistake that I believe I made. So I don't know, Mai, if you want me to talk about that now or I should talk about it later on.
Okay, it really depends on you. Tonight we're looking at stress management. So you might want to chip in whatever, you know, yes. The floor is yours. Yes. So Jola, well, people are blessing your father in the comment section. They are saying God protect him. He's an amazing father, you know, and all
Thank you.
But seeing they can relate with that. This show is about vulnerability, is about positivity, is about possibility. We bring people that are at the top or on their way to the top to share their stories with us so we can learn. So we know that success is not accidental.
Yeah.
And in my opening statement, I said, you're not too old to pursue your dream. So I always ask my guests, have you failed before? You know, what are the speed bumps and all that? But tonight, I'm going to go straight into the topic, and then you can put that in. Have you failed before? You know, what is stress? We're looking at stress management. What exactly is stress? Is there positive stress or good stress? And is there bad stress? Jola, please.
Thank you so much, Ma. This is one of the topics that is very dear to my heart because I've literally been through stress. I know where stress lives. I know I have all the data of stress, and you know, I even have a scar to show for stress. So it's one of the areas that I've studied, you know, in my journey of life. And like you said, what is stress? Stress is simply a situation that triggers a biological response. Okay. And when we perceive, when the human body perceives a threat or a challenge, it releases some hormones. Our brain releases some hormones into our body, cortisol and adrenaline. And it's either sends a message to fight that challenge or threat or to flee. So we say fight or flight or fight. So stress can be good, like you said, and stress can be bad. So the good stress, for instance, if you know, there's sudden, you hear a sudden, a big bang and there's an explosion. So there's a threat, there's a challenge, you are stressed. That stress will release adrenaline and you will, you know, someone was telling me that there was a time that they tried to do something, to go to somebody's house, and a dog just jumped out and started chasing them. And they were like, I didn't believe I could run that fast. Yes, you could do so. It was adrenaline that was released at that point in time and made you do what seemed to be impossible for you in a normal way. So that was good stress, because if your body didn't release, your brain didn't release those hormones to your body, you probably would have been stuck. You'll have been in danger. You know, there might have been a very, very bad situation that would be difficult for you to recover from. So that adrenaline, that's hormones that is released, is often because of stress, but also helps us. Also sometimes maybe you have a deadline that you have to finish a project or something and you're stressed, but then you realize that, I remember that sometimes last year I had to do a thesis of about 15,000 words, and I had about 3-4 days left and I was not even halfway, and I just realized that I wasn't sleeping. I didn't sleep for like 3 days. My eyes were open and I wasn't tired. And I was like, what's this? It is adrenaline, because I was stressed. That's not normal. So it's okay for you to have those periods of stress when something has happened. So am I fighting it or am I fleeing from it? But when problems start happening is when you start having those stressful moments consecutively. So which is why, again, we're not talking about burnout tonight, but this is where burnout comes in. So every time you have a deadline you need to meet, you're rushing, you are going up and down, you are this, you are that. So you just find that this stress is constant. Now you are having it all of the time. And the fact is, medical research has proven that between 70 to 90% of the physical diseases that we have in our bodies is as a result of stress. So we have cardiovascular diseases, irritable bowel syndrome, migraine headaches, you have cancer, you have all sorts of diseases as a result of stress. And I said earlier on, Ma, that I've actually had a relationship with stress. I have a scar to show for it because I was in an abusive relationship. And of course, that was a very stressful situation for me. And the stress that I was carrying resulted into cancerous tumors in my physical body. Now, when I had the biopsy, and the tumors were on my shoulder, there were about three there on my shoulder, and they did the biopsy and they came and said, oh, they're sorry, it's cancer, they have to take it out, and the doctors, I had it done in Royal Marsden Hospital in London. The surgeon said to me, they have not taken cancerous tumors out of somebody's shoulders before, that it is strange to them. Part of the reason why I went into studying psychology and studying the human mind and, you know, how our emotions affect our physical body is because of this. Because I then later realized, Ma, that when you have pains in certain area of your body, it's directly connected to negative emotions that you are carrying. So, for instance, if you are carrying the pain, the burden of a partner, of a spouse, you have pain on your shoulder. Sometimes if you are having pain, irritable bowel syndrome, pain in your stomach, maybe you find it difficult to go to the toilet, you just always have, it's because you are carrying lots of bitterness and unforgiveness. It causes a lot of irritable bowel syndrome. If you are constantly under anxiety, maybe you have a situation that is giving you anxiety, you will constantly have migraine headache. I remember there was a client that she had a 12-week session with me, and we got to about 4 or 5 weeks. And she came one day and she said, insomnia, Ma, is also one of the results of stress. She said to me, I found it difficult
to sleep.
To sleep, yes, my inability to sleep. I find it difficult to sleep. I can't sleep. I was having headache and all of that. And I said, okay, that's fine. I took her through some exercises, some interventions. I told her to breathing exercises. And I asked her, what have you been thinking about? She told me, and I said, okay, you're going to start journaling. I gave her some exercises. And before we left that session, she said, oh, I feel better. The headache is gone. I was like, it's the emotions. It's the stress that is causing the headache. So, Ma, this topic, stress management, is everything. It's so important because, yes, and two major things that causes stress is our environment and our experiences. So sometimes you are in a physical environment that is stressing you. You must understand, you must learn how to cover yourself, how to shield yourself from allowing that stress to enter into you. Because what happens is, when the situation happens, so in CBT, I'm also a CBT therapist. In CBT, we say it's not the event that happened.
Tell us the meaning of CBT, please.
Cognitive behavioral therapy. Okay. So cognitive behavioral therapy. So that's also one of the therapist interventions that I use and help people see people through. So we say it's not the event that happened that causes how you react. It's how you think about it. So what thoughts came into your mind? So suddenly you're sleeping in the middle of the night and you hear a noise, boom. And you start thinking, oh, there must be armed robbers in my house, or maybe they might have some fire. And then the more you think about it, you start panicking. You start having anxiety. You start shaking. People shake physically when you are stressed, when you're having panic attacks, you start shaking. Well, because you thought, it was that thought. But if you hear a loud noise, boom, and you're like, oh, I'm sure maybe something just dropped from my bedside cabinet. It's nothing. I'm protected. Nothing can harm me. You know, I'm a child of God. Your faith. You see that you're peaceful. It's same event, different thoughts, different reactions. So one of the most important ways to deal with stress is our thoughts. Knowing how to understand how you're feeling, the way you are thinking per time, and how to swap and change that thought pattern in such a way that it will help you not react negatively. Because sometimes, again, stress, when you're stressed, you're worried. When you're stressed, you're anxious. When you're stressed, you get sick. When you're stressed, you transfer aggression to other people. When you're stressed, you make mistakes. When you're stressed, you make wrong decisions. I normally say to people, when you're tired, when you're stressed, it might be valid tiredness and valid stress. Don't make a decision. Go and sleep. See, the world will not end because you're not making that decision right now. And sometimes we think that, oh, it has to be me. I have to, again, you know, one of the ways of managing stress is setting boundaries. Because sometimes we just feel that I am the alpha and the omega. I can do everything. I will do everything. And I normally say to people, I say, see, you are not indispensable, though. One of the questions I ask people, so I have this 12-week course titled Soul Healing and, you know, Reinvention, Finding Yourself. And one of the first things I do when I have my clients in front of me is I ask them, who is the most important person in your life? And sometimes people will go, they will think, they will say, my spouse, my children, my mom, my dad. They will just say, so I'll ask again because I'm trying to get them somewhere. And then all of a sudden they will say, I think it's me. I say, you think or you know who? I said, because listen, if all of those people, they are important, but I'm saying in your life to you, if you don't realize that your health, your mental well-being, your physical well-being, and your spiritual well-being is important in caring for those people that are important to you, you will self-sabotage. Because so in a bid to be there for them, to do this for them, to run around and make them feel good, you are neglecting yourself. You are stressing yourself. You are not taking time to rest. And God forbid, if anything happens to you and you find yourself in a hospital bed, and you are admitted, you can't do anything, who is going to take care of those children? Who is going to take care of that husband or that wife? Who is going to take care of those parents that are saying, oh, they're most important? So actually, you owe them the responsibility of making sure you live a stress-filled, a stressless life. If those people are really important to you, then you must say, oh, I have to take care of myself. Because if I take care of myself, I'll be healthy, I'll be whole, and then I can take care of these other people. But a lot of times, especially women, we feel that I must do this, I must, and it is okay to do this. But then what is happening is you are creating an accumulated level of stress, which you degenerate into physical diseases. An inability to sleep, headache, migraine. Sometimes you keep taking painkillers and nothing is happening to you. You are stressed. You need to do something. You need to go for a walk. You need to exercise. You need to just stop, pause. I always tell people that, see, work will never finish. Work, there will always be work. Like, there will always be work. But you need to understand that it is somebody that is healthy that can walk. And stress brings illness. Stress brings diseases. Stress brings dysfunction. Stress causes conflict. Because you will realize that in your relationship, when you are stressed, you're just unnecessarily grumpy. And people are like, I was just living. You're just unnecessarily. And it's not them. It's not those people. It's just you that you are stressed. So a lot of things can cause stress in our lives. And I said earlier on that majorly our environment and our experiences causes stress in our lives. But we need to understand that, yes, those things have happened to us, but we must not allow those things to keep happening to us. So it happened to you. So I say, when I went through the domestic violence and abuse that I went through, and when I came out and started my journey of healing, I said to myself, the abuse that happened to me is not my fault, but the healing and reinvention is my responsibility. And I owe myself to make sure I heal and I release my value to my world, because I understand that I'm a value carrier. I understand that God has put something inside of me that my world is waiting for. So because of that, I can't afford to now let that experience or that environment keep happening to me in the now. That will not be good for me. So if I say, oh, I'm just going to be there and be trying to feel sorry for myself and be carrying this pain and, you know, carrying, I just said Yoruba English there, be petting the pain and say, this is my pain. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to be able to do anything. In fact, because of that pain, from that experience that I'm carrying, I'm going to be so stressed. I'm going to have chronic stress, and then I'll be sick. I'll have a lot of diseases. I will just be, you know, from one hospital to another. But you are doing that to yourself. Yes, that incident happened. But right now, don't allow that experience or that environment to keep happening to you. It happened to you. Leave it where it is. It is in the past. But you can actually begin to live free of that stress and that worry and live a beautiful life that God has ordained for you to live.
Wow, wow, wow. Thank you so very much. Fantastic. You're just blowing my mind. If you're just joining us, this is Jola Grace. She's a coach and she's a domestic violence survivor. I've been in her life for years, and I'm honored to be bringing her here today. And she's been a blessing. She's adding value to us. She said, work can never finish. I hope you heard that one twice. Work can never finish. And that if you don't make that decision right away, the world will not end. So drop it and go rest. And she says, stop pampering your pain, your past. What happened to you may not be your fault, but it is your responsibility to heal. Someone is asking, so how did you heal? How do we manage stress? So you might want to put that together. How did you heal?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ma. I mean, a lot of times when I share my story, and again, Mama, I've told you that you are the chapter one in my journey to freedom. And I know that time will not permit me to go into the details of that, but I'm just so, so grateful to you, Ma. And once again, I want to give a shout out to my dad and my mom. I'm so grateful to them as well, because they did not allow religion or culture to make them lose their daughter, because I've seen, and I'm just grateful. It's just the grace of God. I've seen instances where even the parents are told that this is happening to your child, and like, what would people say? The society, this. No, my dad said, I would rather have a divorced daughter than a dead daughter. He said, come home. It is okay. And I'm just grateful to God for that. And I'm grateful to God for my parents. So, how did
Someone
I heal?
Someone is asking, what happened to you? What's the story? Yeah. Was it actually shared with us? Maybe for like a few seconds or whatever. So
okay, you know. So yeah, I mean, basically, yes, I will do that. So I went through domestic violence and abuse, and I was in the abusive marriage for 16 years. It started, and one thing I normally say is that abuse tolerated becomes aggravated. So it started subtly, you know, with name calling, and I went through all the abuse, from physical abuse to financial abuse to emotional abuse to psychological abuse. I will even dare to say to sexual abuse. I went through every kind of abuse, and for me, I was naive. I didn't even know that I was being abused. I didn't know. I just felt that this was a difficult marriage. And it was in the Christian circle. And so I just kept being told, keep praying, you know, keep praying, keep submitting. You know, you're not submitting enough. The man said, you don't respect him. Keep submitting. You too, what did you do before he beat you? The first time I was slapped, I was pregnant with my daughter. What did you do? Why did you upset him? You know, and all of that. So that went on and on and on and on and on for so many years. And I said, shared earlier on, how I was operated on my shoulder because I had tumors, cancerous tumors on my shoulder, which is linked to the stress that resulted from that abuse. You know, I wasn't allowed to work. I wasn't allowed to, I had to depend on this person for everything, every finance that I needed. I was isolated. I couldn't relate with people freely. You know, I was muted. I did not have a voice. I remember the first time my mom met me, and then she met me a few months ago. I said, I can't believe you had the same face.
I'm telling you, I couldn't believe. Is this the same Jola that has become so expressive, blessed but muted? It's not a great place to be.
You know, but I just thank God. I just really thank God because it's not what I went through. Nobody should go through it. It's not right. And for me, I also realized in my study of psychology and the human mind that the condition that I was dealing with my abuser was narcissism. So it was a narcissist. And if you can go and go online and research, and then you will begin to see the traits. And what I said is a personality disorder is I've worked with a lot of other women who've been through abuse and had similar experiences. And anytime we are sharing, we all say the same things. In fact, you can almost finish one of those sentences. And that tells me that this thing is a disease, is an illness. Because if you go to the hospital and you tell the doctor, I have headache, then I have a pain here, I have a pain here, they'll just say, okay, because of these things you have told me, then this is the diagnosis because of what you have said. So it's the same way. We see that the traits, the behaviors, the patterns of these abusers, they are all the same thing. They would lie on you. They will make people look at you as the villain, and that they are the victim. They would say things. They would just, you know, they will spoil you. They will. That is their modus operandi. You know, and one of my big aunties told me that. See, one of the ways you can cut short a narcissism is to stop giving them fuel. You know, they react. So a narcissism is happy when you are sad, and when you are sad, the narcissism is happy. So you can be happy, maybe seeing something happen to you and you're just around, and they will just think of something like, why is this pillow bent? Have I not told you to always make sure the pillow in this room is straight? You are so stupid. You are foolish. You don't engage your brain. You don't have any sense. And they will just go on. By the time they are done with you, you are crying.
They're finished.
All the happiness, everything. When I left that marriage, I felt like a piece of stale bread. I remember saying that to my dad. One day I said, I feel like a piece of a stale bread. Not even bread, a stale, you know, a stale bread that they've thrown away that is on by the road. That was the way I felt. Because of the amount of words, of horrible, negative words that you should not even speak to an animal that was said to me. But when I came out, I realized that God has given me another chance. Because I knew that I could have died. I would have died, actually. And so I made up in my mind that there is a reason why God delivered me. There is a reason why God gave me this second chance. And I need to take that journey to heal. Even after I left, Mama, I was still hearing voices in my head. Anytime I try to do anything, I will hear, you are stupid, you are foolish, you don't engage your brain.
Oh, God.
And I was like, how? How can I move past this? How can I do anything? And then I realized that, oh my goodness, I need to heal. And I had to go through therapy. I went through various sessions of therapy. I had a personal coach. I had a therapist who I was speaking to every week, sometimes twice a week. In fact, at the beginning, I remember that in the initial early stages, that my therapist was coming to me every single day. She kept telling me, write things out. You are safe now. It's not here. It can't hurt you. I was so... Sometimes I have panic attacks. I'm shaking. I'm like physically shaking. After I left, just a trigger. Anything can trigger me and I'll be shaking. I'll be, you know... But I told myself, you need to heal because you're a value carrier. You carry value and there's something on your inside. So one of the first things I did was to tell myself, I need to rise above my past. I need to reconcile with my past. It happened. It's an event. And this event is stressing me. So that's why I said, see, that your experiences and your environment will cause you stress. It happened to you. But don't allow it to keep happening to you. That means you are living in it. So it is in the past. You need to rise above that past. You need to reconcile with the past. Because also for me, it took me a while to say, yes, I was abused. Ah, this happened to me. Because I'm like, I realize that the Bible says that our righteousness is like filthy rags. But sometimes when you sort of have done some things and you are hoping that, God, but, you know, look at what I did though while I was single. I should have the best marriage. I should have the best. And then it doesn't happen like that. And you're like, I was angry with God. I asked God a lot of questions. But I had to accept that this didn't happen to me. It happened to me. It happened to me. I actually have been through abuse. And, you know, because it's not anything anybody wants to be proud of to say, oh, this happened to me. But it happened. But see, one of the fastest ways of healing is to reconcile with what has happened to you. You can't be deluded about your experience. You can deceive other people, but you can't deceive yourself. So I reconciled with my past, with the fact that this happened to me. And then the second thing I started to do was to investigate that mistake, because to me, it is a mistake. I made a mistake in the life of, in the choice of a life partner. I normally say to people that values, one of the most important causes of conflict in relationship is disalignment of values. So first of all, if you don't even know your own values, how can you know if your values align with the values of the other person? So, I mean, if our values can't work together except they agree, except they have the same values. So somebody believes in integrity. The other person cannot be bothered with integrity. They don't care. How can the two of you work together? You can't agree because you have different values. So you must ask yourself, what are my values? So I began to investigate, what happened? Why did I make this mistake? Values. I didn't check my values with this person's values. What happened? I married the what of this person, not the who. I married the title. I didn't know who he was. I just knew what he was. He carried a title. I felt, because he carried that title, my life is going to be perfect. Like, we're going to be praying every day in my house. It's bliss. Really? Ooh. I realized that there was a difference between somebody's what and their who. I married the what. I didn't know the who. And so I started to tell myself that if I was to go back or tell to my younger self, what will I tell my younger self? Number one, don't rush. Anything that comes to you, like, yes, give me an answer now. I want to marry you. I need you. I need to have an answer now. Uncle, calm down. Calm all the way down. Give me time. Because nobody can consistently act in a way that is inconsistent with who they are on a consistent basis. So one day, as you are talking, one day, they will say something. They will do something. They will raise their hand like this, and you'll be like, you raise your hand. And again, I said, don't make excuses for bad behavior. This one, the lessons are elicited from my own personal mistake. Don't make excuses for bad, because the truth is, I saw red flags. But I said, he carries this, like, he can't be wrong. It's me. Something is doing me. You're just ordinary church girl. It must be me. I kept making excuses for the bad behavior, for the signs, for the things I kept making excuses that it's fine, it's nothing. Look at his what. His what is the cocoa now. Don't be focusing on all of that. So don't make excuses for bad behavior. After I investigated and listened to the lessons, and then told myself, I need to start discovering myself, self-discovery. So who am I? Who really am I? Because the truth is, Mama, all those years, I didn't know who I was. Again, with this, I needed the help of a coach. I had to get a coach. I had to start, you know, doing courses, going for master classes, and say, okay, who am I? And then when you discover yourself, you need to accept yourself and start loving yourself. The problem is, a lot of people don't accept what they discover. When they discover, they say, ah, no, but this, I would rather be that. And then because you rather be that, you are stressing yourself. You are accumulating the stress in your life because you're not working in your place of purpose. You're not working in your own high places. We all have our, it says, and we will set me upon to see what I will see on my high place. You have an ability that God has given to you. Your ability is different from my ability. My ability is different. When I'm trying to work in your own ability, I'm stressing myself. If I say, so I want to be singing like Sinatra, for instance, and I keep going to the studio, I will be so stressed. In fact, all the music producer, they will say, Auntie, please come and go. You know, this is not, because that's not my ability. But a lot of people are so stressed because they are trying to operate in other people's ability. They are not taking time to discover themselves. Who am I? Then accept who you are. Because I say to people, God doesn't make a mistake. In fact, while you are discovering and accepting yourself, you also need to accept yourself physically. Because that's one problem that a lot of women also have. When you look at your nose, your height, you say, oh, I don't like this one, I don't like my body, I don't like this one, I don't like... And by the time you go through all of that, you are stressed. You are so stressed. You say, I have to go and buy this cream, I have to go and do that one. And you are just stressed because you have not accepted who you are. God created you in his own image. When God finishes creating the world, the Bible says God looked at everything he created and said, very good. So whether you are tall, short, fat, black, white, whatever you are very good. And you are created specifically for your purpose. So accept yourself and then begin to love yourself. It's a journey. Begin to love yourself. Begin to love yourself because nobody will treat you better than you treat yourself. I remember about 2 or 3 years ago, I walked into a store in the UK and I saw this bunch of flowers. I love flowers. I love natural flowers. I just love flowers. I was like, oh, so beautiful. I wish somebody would buy it for me. And I know I heard you saying to me, who will buy it for you? Buy it for yourself. I said, ah, no. I cannot be buying myself flowers. It's ridiculous. I can't buy myself flowers. But you know, I left that store that day with the flowers. And ever since, there's fresh flowers in my house every time. Uh-huh. Every single time, I have fresh flowers around me. And I'm like, what? Yeah, yes. So you need to start. It's a journey. You're not going to get there just like that because somebody has taken that esteem away from you. That experience, that environment has taken your, some people with childhood trauma that they went through. Somebody as they are growing up, pretend that they are not fine, they are not beautiful, they are this, they are that. So they don't even feel that they don't deserve it. But you do deserve it. You do deserve it. But the things I teach my clients is I help you elicit your own personal affirmation. That affirmation is for you, developed by you. And you are saying it to yourself every day. And we understand that the words that will speak are powerful. As words can make, words can also destroy. So yes, somebody has spoken negative words to you. You start speaking positive words to yourself. That's part of, loving yourself. And then the last thing I did to help me heal is to assess my environment. Who are the people around you? I was saying to one of my clients the other day, we were doing a session, and she was saying, oh, somebody's calling her, they're telling her this. That, and I said, are you sure? Are you ready to heal? She said, yes. I said, you have to set some boundaries. It's not going to be easy, but you must set some boundaries. Because at that point, we are very vulnerable. So it's easy for people to keep reopening your wound. It's just like, you know, if you have a wound, sometimes you finish an operation and you're in the hospital, they will keep you in the hospital so that you can heal faster. If you have, immediately after the operation, they release you home. They know that you're going to be stressed. People are going to be trying to touch you. Everybody's going to be around you. And it's going to be more difficult for you to heal. So they keep you there, isolated on the hospital bed. Stay here, only you. No plenty of people around you so that you can heal faster. So again, if you want to heal from your emotional wound, you need to create boundaries. You need to assess your environment. Who are people that are in my life that are always reopening this wound? They're always touching that wound. Every time you're around them, you feel the pain of the wound. There's something at that point when you are healing. You need to isolate yourself. You need to create that boundary. It might be later on in a few years, you will be healed enough to relate with them. Because nobody stays in hospital forever. Once you are healed, they tell you you can go back home. Then you can start relating with everybody. But at that point where you are still sore, when you are still trying to heal, you can't have everybody in your life. And you, it's a decision, you, it's hard. And sometimes because we want people to love us, I want everybody to like me. And I say to people, see, everybody cannot like you. Once you get it, because I said, do you love everybody? They say, no, I don't love everybody. I said, so why do you think everybody will like you? Just focus on the people that love you, people that you know truly, truly care about you. Focus on them. And it's not about the crowd or the plenty of people. It can be 1, 2, 3, 4 people, but they are helping you in your journey of healing and journey of recovery. So I think that was just some of the few things. Let me just say that.
Amazing. People are sending love to you. They are blessing you. Thank you so very much. Somebody is asking, how do you separate or how do you deal with the narcissist parent? And then maybe you just put that also with, how do you make sure that, because the workplace, the office has a lot of stress. How do you manage that you don't bring personal problems there? And then the stress that you even find in the workplace, how do you manage that? So two questions. A narcissist that is a parent. Mm-hmm. We've heard about husband, wife.
Yeah.
Because we can have female abusers too. There are women that abuse, and all that. Oh, it's amazing tonight.
In fact, ma, with the female, when the female is the narcissist, it's worse, I must say, than the man. Because everybody will want to be on the side of the woman. Ah, but she's a woman. You need to take care of her. And then men, I was on the Clubhouse program the other day, and there was a guy that came up and said, it was in an abusive relationship and this and that. And I said, would you like me to, I want to put you on a platform for me to come and share? I said, I'm not ready yet. And I said, I understand. I absolutely understand, because it's more difficult for men to come out and say, I was abused. But the truth is, a man, a woman, we are all human beings and we are all emotional beings. We all have the same measure of emotions. So it's okay for you to be able to say, hey, I need help. My emotions need help. I need healing. It is absolutely okay. So to deal with a narcissist parent, depending on your age, I don't know how old you are. I don't know whether you are old enough to stand alone for yourself. I don't know whether you are still young living under their roof, but it depends on where you are in both spectrums. So I'll say, if you're already old enough to live on your own, you are on your own. You must create that boundary diplomatically. Because this is now about your mental health. It's about your sanity. You already have, you are not living under their roof again. You must be able to say, oh, mom, dad, please, I would really appreciate if this doesn't happen. And if this continues to happen, I'm sorry, this will have to happen. Okay, but you have to make them see. Because again, I say people will treat you the way you treat yourself. If you don't stand up for yourself, nobody will stand up for you. But when you stand up for yourself and they see that, I can't keep stepping on this person, they will come up to where you are. There might be a gap, because that happened to me. There are people that I had to just say, no, not anymore. And for a while, these people stopped talking to me. And then later, gradually, they started coming back when they said that I've pulled the standard up. So if you are now on your own, you're living on your own, you need to be able to create those kind of boundaries and put your foot down and say, no, you will not speak to me like this. You will not treat. And sometimes I see a situation of maybe the parents who is a narcissist being nasty to the maybe son-in-law or daughter-in-law, and the one who is the child is not speaking up for the spouse. But you have to speak up and say no. If it means that they are not coming to your house again, I'm sorry. If you keep doing this, you won't come here. But I will still send you what I need to send you. I will still do what I need to do, but I need to protect my sanity. I need to protect my health. If on the other hand, you are still living on their roof, you need to find a way of getting support outside of that environment. Okay, so you have to be, number one, be self-aware and build a lot of inner tenacity. You need to find a way to put yourself in a capsule. Okay, so because a lot of times narcissists are looking for reaction. So you must look for other ways of distressing yourself. Okay, and sometimes, it can be things as simple as singing, music. As simple, I remember one of the things that helped me, and this is not spiritual, it's not anything. I'm not going to about to say prayer and fasting, because a lot of times when I was even that low and depressed, I was so low and depressed to the extent that I remember that I did actually attempted. I took an overdose because I didn't want to live again. I was like, no, this pain is too much. So I felt if I take all of those tablets, it would take all the pain away. has that ideation. So instead of yourself, one of the things that I then find out, instead of yourself sitting and focusing on those things, is there, you are inside it because you're still living with them. There's nothing you can do. So you need to find a way of de-stressing yourself, of diffusing those stress. One of the things I did then was I had Candy Crush on my phone. Candy Crush is a game. When I see that it's getting too much in my head, I just grab my phone and start playing the Candy Crush. I just keep, because I'm playing the Candy Crush because I'm not thinking. So because I'm not thinking, I'm not having, the thought is not resulting into negative emotions that is affecting me. My mind is doing something else. You can go and iron. Just get up and go and iron. Go and do something. Sometimes when I'm stressed, I cook. I know it's weird. But some people say, oh, cooking is work. Or sometimes when I'm stressed, I'm like, okay, bring us all the ingredients. I cook and I cook. So find something else to take that stress from you. It might be music, it might be watch a movie. So you'll be intentional about it and tell yourself, okay, because I'm living in a toxic environment. There's so much toxicity around me. Every day I must watch a comedy movie.
Wow. Wow. This is so practical. And I'm so grateful. I can't believe it's almost 1 hour. Jola, you won't believe that.
I think that's my answer also will work for the office environment. So because you are in that office, you can't get out of it. So look for things that you can put around you that will help you diffuse the stress.
Okay. Some people are asking questions. Remember, once a month, I'm going to be answering questions. But I need to answer this one. When a man tells you that you cannot work, it's not because of health reasons. It's not because you have an autistic child. It's not because there is. Then my sister, wake up. Wake up. Your father did not send you to school so you can just sit down at home doing nothing. Because when they make sure you are not economically empowered, that's the starting point.
Oh, yes.
So they frustrate you. Why would your husband tell you not to work? And he's working. Mm. And then you are the house help. He will dole out some money. No. Please. Except you want to put your career on hold for some time, raise your kids or whatever, but whatever works for you, but that a man will insist that you cannot work. There is more to it too. Oh my God. This week, Thursday, every Thursday at 8 o'clock, God laid something on my heart. We're going to be praying. Every Tuesday, we're going to be talking, educating you. But you see, the spiritual controls the physical. I've carried that burden in my heart for some time, for like 20, 30 minutes on all my social platforms. Thursdays, 8 p.m. So today's Tuesday, Wednesday, you rest. Thursday, we're going to be back to pray. It is Tad Rehoboth. God is making room for me. We're going to be praying. And there are some things that God is laying on my heart. We're going to crush some things that the enemy is putting as a covering curse on some of you. Let me just say that. For those of you on Clubhouse, FFA Radio, Mix LR, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, thank you so very much. Kojola Grace has been a fantastic blessing today. She opened up. I know you are sending questions, but you know, I told her 1 hour. And that's what, you know. Oh, thank you so very much, Kojola. This is a global, you know, people are watching from Australia, from Japan, you wouldn't believe it, from America, from Nigeria, from Ghana, Namibia, Senegal, Zambia, Ghana, different parts of the world. It's like 4 a.m. or so in Japan. Mm. And people wake up to watch this. So you can imagine what God has used your life to do. Seychelles, they are even telling me, you know, to do. Thank you so much. Sweden, you see, they're writing it. Some of you are asking questions about my coaching program. Please go on my website, funkefelix@dejumo.org. You will find it there. The different coaching programs that I have. And if you want Jola to coach you, the UK, Kenya, thank you. I know you're writing. USA, Namibia, thank you. You know, if you want Cameroon, Brazil, people are now, they have decided to be sending me Gabon. I'm going to stop reading the names of your country. What time, South Sudan? What time is the prayer? It's 8 p.m., you see? It's 8 p.m., same time, like Navigate. Mm. Navigate is on Tuesday. You see, Haiti, Navigate is on Tuesday. Spain, Zambia, Sweden, Navigate is on Tuesday. Botswana and Rehoboth is on Thursday. 20-30 minutes, we're done, but it's going to be fire. I'm going to be praying with you. If you want Jola to coach you, please, her handle, I know my bosses, you're going to put her handle there too, at Coach Jola Grace, I think, on Instagram. Yes, and then you can DM her. Ethiopia, I see you. Greece, I see you. Can you imagine? Kenya is 2255. What's your closing remark, Jola? You've been a blessing. I mean, a massive blessing. Benny, you see, they want you to know Southeast London, Ethiopia, Nigeria. Thank you. What's your parting words for us tonight? Germany, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Ma. I just want everyone that is watching to know that you are a value carrier. When God created you, he had a purpose in mind. He created you for a specific purpose. And yes, life happens. Things will happen that will attempt to distract you from that purpose. But you need to make up in your mind that no matter what happens, you might have gone off track. I'm going to get back on track. Why? Because you are a product of the CEO of the whole wide world incorporated. It doesn't create junk. It has put something special and something substantial on your inside. And it says the plans it has for you, they are plans of good and not of evil, to bring you to your expected end. No human being, no situation can truncate God's plan and purpose for your life. So begin to raise your head up, begin to love yourself, begin to accept yourself, because you are beautiful, you are special, you are unique, you are intelligent. You are a master.
Fantastic. Woo. Ireland, Liberia, they are still writing. Woo. Thank you so very much, Jola. What a blessing. You, thank you for being vulnerable enough to share your story. She's not lying. I was a part of that story. I was a part of her deliverance. So don't let anybody tell you that she's lying. She's not lying at all. No. It's amazing to me the kind of woman you have become. I'm so grateful to God for you.
Thank you, man.
You are a voice to the nations of the world. And God is going to continue to enlarge you.
Amen.
Thank you, everybody, and good night. Okay, thank you, Jola. We appreciate you. Thank you. Jola's contact, just go to her Instagram handle at Coach Jola Grace Emmanuel. Thank you, everybody. Please watch out. I have a powerful announcement that I'm about to make on my Instagram page. By tomorrow, you're going to have it. If you are below 40 and you are in leadership, I have a free 1-hour mentoring program for you. Yes, it's for young ladies. So please watch out. You see the date and the time. By God's grace. Thank you, everybody, and good night. Have a fantastic, fantastic night. Same time next week, Tuesday, I'm bringing another powerful, powerful person. God bless you all. Good night.